Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 101, Interview with Noah Elias. Noah is a creative entrepreneur who leverages creativity and story in order to bring hope to the world. Whether he's painting amazing works of art for top brands or creating his own stories in platforms such as The Kid in Me, Fear Hunters, and Noah University, Noah is a constant source of inspiration and dedication to his craft. In this episode, we talk about going beyond proficiency at our craft and building creative platforms, why helping others is important, what it means to dream bigger, and the role fear plays in life. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/101. Are you passionate and motivated to make the world a better place and wonder how you're going to market your work? Chris Martin Studios is a video production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness for those who dare to build a better world. Head to chrismartinstudios.com to see the latest goods produced for people just like yourself. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. It's a great way to stay connected with Chris Martin Studios and meet awesome people changing the world. Before we get into this interview with Noah, I want to thank each and every one of you who have supported Getting Work to Work for the past 101 episodes. It has been an awesome journey, and I look forward to what the next 100 episodes will unleash for your life and work. All right, you ready for this interview with Noah? I certainly am. Cue the transitional music. Noah, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little bit about what you do?
My name is Noah Elias. I'm a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, mentor, and love to use creativity and story to bring hope to the world.
I love that. And my first exposure with your work was actually at Disneyland. And my wife bought an amazing Tangled painting that we still have in our bedroom now. And on the back was a short bio and link to your website. And when I went there, I felt that was the moment when I went into Wonderland. Because you're more than an artist. You are, as you described, a serial entrepreneur. When did you learn that you had more aspirations than just art and that you wanted to build a creative empire?
Well, I appreciate that. Those are kind words. I really came to kind of a crisis in life where I realized God had given me the ability to paint and to create things. And I love that. And I loved also taking people's stories out of their head and making them a reality. But what came to me was how many people needed help in putting their life together, and also not just putting their life together, but how to do life and a meaningful life as a creative. And so I wanted to start, you know, building an online platform and building an agency that would help provide those tools for creative entrepreneurs and just creatives in general. And so I created Noah University. And then out of that, a worldwide, like a global community of creatives doing life together. But then we also had other ministry partners and other people in our life that came to us and said, hey, I love what you did there. Is there any way that you can take my curriculum and the product that we're trying to launch and take that online as well? And essentially what happened was I didn't want to just do it with any brand or any company. I wanted to do it with companies that were providing transformation, you know, ministries that were helping people find their calling, urban youth workers, which was, you know, an urban youth initiative to help youth in urban areas in terms of discipleship and leadership training. So it wasn't just building, you know, brands for brand's sake. It was like, how do we build an agency that's literally providing hope to the world and helping people get ignited into their calling, into their giving, their philanthropy, and being able to be a blessing to the world? So that, I was really passionate about that. And it started from doing art. And I continue to do art. I love to do art. But there was just more that my heart wanted to say. So I first kind of cracked that that nut when I was traveling doing art events all over the world, and I would sit on planes. I'm like, man, I need to get something done while I'm sitting here. So I literally started writing my life story, and I wrote my first book, Speed Bumps, and offered that on my site for anybody that would sign up, just to improve the opportunity for us to have a dialogue together. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it started. And then I realized, man, there's so much I want to say, and there's so much I want to do, so many people I want to help. And so that's kind of how it was all born. It was born out of first doing art, creativity, and then leveraging that momentum and that creativity to now start to help people, rather than, hey, I just want to make money, get comfortable, and then retire and coast my way to death. I mean, mm-hmm. that was haunting me.
I love the way you describe it too, because, you know, earlier you were saying that you want to bring out people's stories and provide hope. And it sounds like, you know, your story is just that. You weren't satisfied with just art. You wanted more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Wanted more, knew that there could be more, but it was going to take a lot of overcoming fear and overcoming obstacles in order to go into territories that I knew nothing about. How to build membership sites, how to build online brands, content marketing, social media. Gosh, the whole thing. It was a brand new world. Publishing books, dropship fulfillment, automation. Like, it's just an entire new world. But we typically come into this life thinking that we're supposed to be a specific way, when in actuality we were designed for much more. I believe each of our lives are stages, almost like climbing Everest, and we keep going to different stages and we keep climbing at a higher altitude, and our leadership expands, our knowledge expands, our wisdom expands, our influence expands, our relationships expand, and all of that together takes you to newer heights and newer levels. But most people don't go there because they're terrified of the unknown and they're terrified of failure. So that then prompted me to write my book, Fear Hunters, which was about that process of, you know, if you don't overcome fear and you don't know how to dismantle fear and shame, which will keep you locked in analysis paralysis of the status quo, if you don't get out of that spot, you're never going to have the ability to truly find your calling and live out your full purpose. So that's what prompted me to write that book.
Yeah. Why do you think fear is so prevalent in creative communities?
There's not a big emotional attachment to, let me give you an example. And this isn't, you know, downplaying anybody that works at a job, but if you're working at a job, you're under somebody else's control, mm-hmm. you're on their time, and you're producing results that meet a certain quota based on what the expectations are of the job description that you have. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're an entrepreneur, it's your time. The decisions that are making all land on you. You have ownership of everything that are the results. Mm-hmm. So now most people call that being exposed. They can't blame it on anybody else. It's all going to land on them. So they feel super exposed. And then the second part of that is, if you're an entrepreneur that happens to be a creative, now the actual product that you're involved in actually consists of something that your heart is attached to. Mm. It'd be one thing if I'm working at a company, I'm just selling a product that is somebody else's. I didn't have anything to do with the creation of that product. Mm-hmm. And I'm on somebody else's dime. I just need to make sure that this product gets shipped and I have no tie to it. And if I have a really upset customer, it's not my customer, it's the company's customer. There's no fear there necessarily. When you're an entrepreneur, when you own your own thing, it all lands on you, and it's your product that you happen to put your heart into on a creative level. You could have criticism. You could have people that don't like the process, don't like the product. And that's why most people don't do it. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want to be vulnerable, and they don't want to be out in the open. They don't want to pioneer. I've taught on this a tremendous amount. One of the telltale signs is between a manager and a leader. A manager avoids change at all costs, and leaders embrace change and feel best when leading and moving into what's next, what's new. Mm-hmm. So fear typically is around a creative, because a lot of what they're creating, their heart is attached to it.
Yeah. Is fear something that will ever go away, or do we learn to embrace it in the many ways that it appears?
It's the ways that you embrace it. Fear's like the weather. It's always going to be around. Sometimes it's going to be early. Sometimes it's going to be calm, but it's always there. I've said the saying many times, it's not what's happening to us in life that's the issue. It's how we're responding to it. Mm. And so it's our filter. It's like how we're perceiving, seeing the actual what's happening. And, you know, we can actualize our way. We can imagine our way. We can conjure up ideas, you know, that aren't there. We can totally create false realities, false identities. Mm. But false realities, you know, that is one of the definitions of fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Mm. That's one of the ways that I teach in the book, though, too. It's just like, hey, the surrounding fear is going to be around. Danger is always going to be around, but fear is optional.
Mm. How has fear changed throughout your career? Because when you're starting, the fears are probably a lot different than the fears that you face today.
Yeah. They were really big back in the beginning because everything's brand new. Mm-hmm. So any uncharted territory, you're gonna be like, man, I have no idea what's around the next corner. And you're building up in your mind, this could be gnarly. You know, like, so you're building this way up in your head. It's like getting on a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. You know, for the first time, you're like, dude, I have no idea. Am I going to throw up or am I going to be exhilarated? That's the exciting part for me. That's the adventure. That's truly when you feel alive, is in the new. Mm. The new is a territory that very few go towards. And for those that venture into the new and pioneer, that's where the biggest reward is. The greatest reward is on the other side of your fear.
That's powerful. The greatest reward is on the other side of your fear. Mm-hmm. Mm. In line with fear is beliefs and values. And I appreciate that your faith is an important part of your story and you don't shy away from sharing it, even with people who may not have your beliefs. Why do you think there's tension with including all of our person, all of our values, all of our beliefs in our professional story?
Because it's a fear, again, afraid that they're going to lose followers, afraid that they're going to lose likes. But everybody's living as a poser. Mm. It's easy to fall into that because you're like, man, I don't want to lose influence, because if I lose influence, then I don't make money. If I don't make money, we don't eat. If we don't eat, we don't, like, you know, then it just goes down the whole rabbit trail in everybody's head. And so my encouragement is to, listen, if we're not stepping into true authenticity of living our true authentic self, then we're going to miss out. The world is going to miss out on the blessing of why you were here in the first place. The greatest thing that you can do is drop the fig leaf and be 100% who you are supposed to be, stepping totally into fear, not caring what other people think, and being truly who you're supposed to be. By doing that, you get to be a total blessing. Otherwise, we are living somebody else's story, whether it's our parents and they're great on what they think about us, whether it's our friends and what they think about us, or whether it's our clients and what they might think about us. I don't want to live another day not being who I truly am called to be and who I want to be. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is taken. Why would I want to be like somebody else? And people do it. That's the status quo. Mm-hmm. And they wonder why they become miserable, because they're not being truthful to their heart, and their heart begins to ache for that. It's like the kid in you aches to be let out to play in that sandbox, to go nuts, rather than, hey, just sit in that corner. Don't disrupt anything. Don't mess anything up and don't rearrange anything. A lot of people can't deal with change. Change is a threat rather than a blessing.
So overcoming fear, incorporating our whole being into our story, how do creative professionals then begin to build their own platforms, much like what you've done?
Great question. I would use the analogy as a house. If you're a professional, a creative, or just a person that's desiring to have a creative life or a platform, you know, if you're wanting to build out your platform, I would say you have to look at it in a house. Imagine a house on a cliff, though. Mm. You know, everybody wants to have a brand. Everybody wants to have a business. So, you know, saying, oh, I want to build this house. Well, typically you're going to want to build a pretty awesome house. It's probably going to be on a cliff overlooking a great ocean, having an awesome, you know, an awesome view. And everybody wants to have a really great company and a great brand. But I look at it in three parts: the foundation, the pillars that go down into that hillside is your foundation. The house is the brand. Mm. The people that are coming over to the party and the product that you're going to provide them is the experience of your brand. And so having everybody over, the question is, are they going to want to come back? Mm. So typically what most entrepreneurs or most folks that want to build a brand, what they do is they want to start with the food, start with what the house is going to look like, and start with, you know, how great of an experience they can provide. So they're really trying to guess their way of just like having a cool brand that's flashy, kind of flash in the pan, when they haven't taken any consideration into the home, into its blueprint, into the way that it's built, what its functionality is, what sort of experience you want to provide at the home. Mm-hmm. But even more important, they spent no time understanding what the foundation is built on and built with. So they do it in reverse. My passion with my mentoring and my online platform is helping folks really have a clear understanding of their foundation before they build their house and before they start giving their offering in terms of their tribe and building their audience and customers. Mm-hmm. Not having a clear understanding on that, you're going to be in a constant state of guessing, and you're going to be in a constant state of flash in the pan, fast food content. Might look great, might taste great, but has no long lasting value. It's almost like if you just put up a shack on a hill, you know, the first sign of any storm, this thing just gets blown off the side of a hill. You got to keep continually reinventing yourself. So the three parts: build your foundation, build your platform, build your audience. You know, I dive into a lot of things: overhauling your career, overhauling your craft, and then ultimately overhauling your calling. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you just to get things in order this year. I want to have you get things in order this year that have a ripple effect into your next 5, your 10, your 20 years, the life of your brand, the legacy of you as an individual with your children and your family, but ultimately help you work the least amount possible, make the most money you've ever made, but doing what it is you love. And you can get to that calling and you can find that sweet spot if you have a plan. Most people treat business like getting a harebrained idea of just saying, hey, man, I want to go accomplish something crazy and take risk and go climb Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. No guide, no equipment, no tools, no map, nobody with experience to follow, no team or community to do it with. And they go at it on a solo mission and wondering why they're running out of air. Mm-hmm. My job is to help pump the brakes, take you into the, you know, operating room, help you cut yourself open, take a look at what's inside, and then we can have a very clear understanding of what sort of life you can have, what's the best business that you should start to operate, and how you can start building a life of impact and income. So that's the platform that I like helping people find.
That's awesome. I love that you're infinitely curious and always learning in order to fuel your platform. Would you be willing to give a glimpse into how you incorporate learning into your daily life?
Sure. I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So if I'm running and exercising, walking, another way that I do it as well is if I'm typically when I do a call here, I'm doing a podcast, I'm sitting in front of you, but I made a commitment to be in or with my headphones on and walking while I'm doing a call. And I've done 6-mile calls, I've done 10-mile calls, and just always being as productive as possible to, and not wasting any time. My learning comes from sitting with my mentors, making sure that I'm having regular scheduled meetings with them, people that I can purge with and download with, glean wisdom from them. Always learning my time in the Word in the morning and throughout the day, time with the Lord and getting scripture and wisdom there. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, making sure that I work with people that, not just my mentors, but if there's any way that I can glean wisdom from people that are getting the results that I want. So whether I'm watching webinars, which I do, mm-hmm. I also get wisdom from my audiobooks as I'm walking, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm doing anything that I can to get that download. But I try to typically do it with exercise as well. So I'm not taking away time from family. And I try to do that in hours where family is sleeping. So it's like a triple win.
I love that. As someone who's worked with world-renowned companies and have had access to unbelievable people and places, what does it mean for you to dream bigger?
I would just say that it's more so in initiatives. You know, I always ask the question, $100 million in the bank, what would I do with my time? What would I do this week? How would I spend time moving forward? And that really changes a lot of the decisions and the answers that you have for people. Mm-hmm. Whether you're bidding a job, whether you're taking on work, what projects you're saying yes to, what relationships you're saying yes to, commitments that you make, would you really do what you're doing right now if you had $100 million in the bank? And a lot of people are like, well, I don't have $100 million in the bank. You know, it has less to do with about the money, but that question is more about permission. Mm-hmm. Because most of the things that you want to execute in life don't cost $100 million. Most of them don't even cost $10,000. That's what's amazing to me. Because typically when I ask people, hey, $100 million in the bank, what would you do? Oh, I'd go to Bora Bora. I'd go do this. I'd fly around. I'd have vacations. I'd, you know, would you change your house? No. Would you do this? No. Would you do this? No. What I really found out, people don't want $100 million. What they want is 70 grand. Mm. They literally just want what they made in 1 year. And if somebody could just cover $70,000 a year, they'd be able to live the life that they've always wanted. But then I ask them, okay, great. You don't go to work anymore. With $70,000, what are you going to do? And that's the thing, they don't know. Mm. Dreaming bigger for me is less about the $100 million. Dreaming big for me is, if I had full permission to do what I've ever wanted to do, what would I do? And why am I doing that? Example, I spent 30 years building companies, doing art, working with some of the greatest companies in the world, with the greatest people in the world. It's been an absolute blessing. Mm-hmm. And unlimited resources, I would leverage the kid in me, which I am. I just started making decisions to execute on the dreams that I've always wanted to do, creating episodic, amazing content that's going to bring hope to the world through the stories of this kid, this orphan kid, and come out with consumer products and toys and have a great time building an imaginary world that can be a blessing to families' lives, and come out with some really amazing, wholesome content, because I think the world is starving for it. Mm-hmm. So there's a massive need, and I would love to help fill that need with a portion of my life with something that I'm super passionate about that I believe can bring a lot of healing and a lot of hope. And what's even more awesome was, same thing, 30 years building the companies, building brands. It's not just to make money. It's how can we be a blessing? So the ministries that we've partnered with, the folks that we're helping underwrite and their initiatives of how they're bringing the gospel to the world and helping people. Mm. Wanted to help these this group of kids down in South Africa and partnered with a great home, Acres of Love. We then took on our own initiative, which is acquiring a house and then bringing 8 special needs children into that home that are orphaned, and providing them the opportunity for care, for medical, dental, schooling, and everything that they need in life to flourish. And that's just another example of, it's more than just us becoming successful and making money. If you didn't have to worry or come up with money or a way to do it, I find that most people are starving from purpose. Mm. Have a purpose, because if you put plenty of money in their account where they didn't have to work anymore, a lot of say I just kind of go to Florida and just hang out. Everybody would be bored out of their mind. Mm-hmm. And to be quite honest with you, people that are even paying their bills are lifeless because they're bored out of their mind. They really truly aren't doing anything that has their heart in it. So everybody's trying to find different experiences of fulfilling that void or filling that yearning, that desire to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's nothing new that's been exciting. The biggest, most exciting thing was either graduating high school or meeting your loved one that you were going to marry or having your children. But then after that, what's next? Mm. It's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The best way to describe it is transitioning from success to having significance. Mm.
So, final question for you, Noah. What are you excited about today?
Excited about today that I get to work from home and see my kids every day. Mm. My son just came in and, you know, gives me a hug and a kiss. And I love the fact that I can go in and see my family and still work and partner with amazing brands and produce incredible content. I'm excited to go see my daughter's volleyball game tomorrow. Life is just flying. I'm excited about the projects that we're working on and producing amazing fruit and stuff that we'll see in eternity. Mm. That excites me. The risks that we're taking, the brands that we're building, the stuff that we're working on isn't just building shacks. We're building really amazing. It's almost like building wineries. We're not just producing a really great place, but we're producing a product that's going to produce fruit and dividends long term. That's exciting to me. Like, that gets me jacked. A couple other things that gets me excited. We're doing a VIP event for my Kid and Me series towards the end of the year. The Kid and Me products that I'm doing with Disney is super exciting. Mm-hmm. That collaboration is just a dream come true. Yeah, there's just a ton of fun stuff, man. New products that are coming out that we're building online, brands and celebrities that we're working with to help them in their efforts. It's a dream. Thankful for my marriage and thankful for the kids. And I don't want to see them graduate high school and go, man, I forgot all those days that happened in between. Mm-hmm. I want to soak them all up.
Well, Noah, that was awesome. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing your story. And I just want to end on a personal note and say thank you just for being an example to me on what it means to not just be a creative professional, but to be a fully formed human that's creative. So I just want you to know that I really look up to you and I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you, man, and I appreciate what you're doing, just even with the podcast and bringing these messages out to the world and helping others. And, you know, you're lighting the way and putting that light on the path. And if you can do that as a portal for hope, that's amazing, man. And I commend you on that. And my biggest hope and prayer is that everybody will share this information and help you, Chris, in building this platform, because it's one that needs to be heard. So thanks for having the courage and stepping out and helping build it. So well done.
Thank you. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. My thanks to Noah for being a constant inspiration for life, work, and business. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means so much to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. While you're at it, head to gwtw.co where you can sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter, and find the various social media links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so you can be social with me and I can be social with you. You'll even find a link to my Patreon page where you can support my work here at Getting Work to Work, as well as future documentary projects and online courses. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work, or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.